But first, the Trump administration's proposed budget calls for up to $300 million in budget cuts for wildland firefighting. During the current fire season, Arizona has already been hit by the destructive force of the Goodwin Fire and other blazes, and areas of California are seeing flames cut through brush and force a number of evacuations. In the Arizona Republic, Roxanne Warnicke Preston, widow of Billy Warnicke, who died fighting the Yarnell Hill Fire 4 years ago, wrote a letter to President Trump asking him to reconsider the budget cuts. And Roxanne Warnicke Preston joins me. Roxanne, what's at the core of the message you're sending to the administration?
For firefighter safety as well as community safety, especially those that live in the wildland-urban interface. So a lot of people, they are not really familiar with the term of a wildland-urban interface. So that is where a community or city, they back into or are surrounded by rural or wildland areas. An example would be the city of Prescott, where they back into the Prescott National Forest.
Now, what do we not pay attention to enough when it comes to this? It seems to a lot of us who are not heavily involved in it that there maybe not enough is being done to prevent, and most of the funding, most of the attention is paid to once the fire starts causing damage.
The budget cut in wildland firefighting, it means to our communities that they are at a higher risk for wildfire, and they're going to be at a greater danger, especially if they live in that wildland-urban interface. So recently, with the Goodwin Fire in Mayer, we saw where firefighters ran into inadequate fuels reduction and where homeowners neglected to have defensible space around their property. And through this, firefighters were told to pull back, and incident commanders will fight fire with that budget in mind. So they will have their firefighters stand back and ground air tankers. So air tankers, they're really expensive. Some cost $50,000 per day. Others cost a lot more if they are able to carry a lot more of the fire retardants. So these resources will be put on hold until it is essential to deploy them. And we still have 4 more months left in the fire season, and we've already burned through all our entire budget. So as we continue to see the budget for firefighting and fire suppression being cut, this means that the monies will be borrowed from other essential programs, such as fire prevention.
You mentioned that the fire season has at least 4 more months to go. Fire experts I've talked to have even said we're moving to a time where it's possible wildfire season might end up being all year round.
Exactly. Each year, it brings larger and more destructive wildfires. And the Institute, the Wildland Firefighter Guardian Institute, understands that the fire profession, it continues to evolve, turning wildland firefighters into what Paul Gleason is known as the hero of the Dude Fire. He coined the term students of fire. And so firefighters continue to study fire science or wildland fire science to successfully manage wildfires, often using fire as a tool. Now, when we have budget cuts, this also eliminates the firefighters' knowledge or limits the knowledge that is handed down to them because they don't have the they're not using the resources in education. And a lot of times when they're out there with doing the fuel reduction or prescribed burns, they often use that time for education purposes. Often when people think of a firefighter, you know, they think of a structural firefighter that belongs to the local fire department, but they don't really think about the wildland firefighter that's out there in the forest and actually fighting the fire. A wildland firefighter often sees fire 97% of his career, whereas a structural firefighter will see fire 7% of their career. So a wildland firefighter is on the front lines. If they're not given the adequate equipment to fight the fire, then we can possibly see more lives lost.
Roxanne Warnicke Preston is the widow of Billy Warnicke, who died fighting the Yarnell Hill Fire in 2013. She's also co-founder of the Wildland Firefighter Guardian Institute. For more details on the proposed cuts to the overall wildfire fighting budget, I turn to Scott Summers, professor in ASU's College of Public Service and Community Solutions. Scott, let's break down these numbers a little bit. Are we actually talking about a direct budget hit of $300 million?
The budget is rather complicated when you look at it. So there's, at one hand, there's about $500 million more going into fire suppression activities. But there's more to it than that. There's a Flame Act, which is over $800 million, and that's proposed to be swept. So on balance, that's about a $300 million-dollar loss. In addition, the administration did a 10-year average of the cost of fighting these fires. And ultimately, what they did is they underfunded about $70 million from the previous year. The problem is that firefighting has costs have skyrocketed over the past 10 years and far exceeded what has been in the budget.
Does a 10-year average make sense, considering at least it seems as though in the last few years we've been seeing more and more incidents across the country?
Well, we're seeing more costs go up, but we're also seeing many more fires than we do, say, in 1970. Since 1970, the fire season has extended 78 days on average. We're also burning about three times as many acres as we were 30 years ago.
So if we look at here in the Southwest, we're kind of fixated on what's going on in Arizona and California as well. Is this something that could really inequitably hit the West?
Certainly, when you look at where the wildfire range is in the United States, it hits the West particularly hard. And the Western Governors Association has been very concerned about what has been deemed fire borrowing, and that is raiding other buckets of federal money from their programs, particularly in land management, in order to suppress fires. And the problem that we run into is that we're putting far more effort into suppressing fires and we're not properly funding prevention. And that has two issues. One, we create unhealthy forests, which burn hotter faster. And we're also harming our watershed, because the unhealthy forests are using more water, and that takes away from our water supply in the West.
From a philosophical standpoint, when we talk about the wildland-urban interface, how much responsibility is on homeowners?
The wildland-urban interface in the United States is expanding by about 2 million acres per year. So we are putting more people at risk as development moves farther and farther out. The other difficulty is that fire departments, communities have trouble extending infrastructure farther away from the core. So fire stations are harder to build farther out. You can't get the water supply that you can, say, in an urban area, and fire stations tend to be slower. So it behooves people who are living in that area, and I don't blame them. I love the forest too, and I'd love to have a house there. But you really need to manage your own property, and you can reduce your own fire risk by just clearing out the dead brush. We're not talking about scraping your land down, but look at how you landscape around your home. Use plants that are known to burn with less frequently or not at all.
Are people in the West more focused on this? Is this an issue where there's a disconnect perhaps with D.C., whatever the party is we're talking about?
It's increasingly an issue because of the expansion of human habitat, into the wildland-urban interface. As the West continues to grow, and to some extent as the South continues to grow as well, we see more people moving into this space, and it's going to become a pressing issue.
Scott, finally, what about how the U.S. Forest Service budget is being affected, could be affected?
One concern that we have is that the U.S. Forest Service budget, an increasing portion of their budget, has been shifted from land management into fire suppression. For example, in 1995, 16% of the budget went to fighting fire. By 2015, that was 52%, and it's projected to be over 67% by 2025.
Scott Summers is a professor in ASU's College of Public Service and Community Solutions. He's also a former firefighter.